It takes skill to live in this world, to know how to present Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for these words from your servant, the Apostle Paul. And Lord, I'm sure that they were a challenge to the first century believers in Crete, as they are to us. Help us with purpose in our heart to live the kind of life that pleases you and honors you and actually is used to draw people to you. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Strength for Today from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand. If you have a question or a comment about what you've heard today, call or text the church at 715-894-7555. 715-894-7555. You're also invited to visit them on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. They meet at the Riverview Community Center at 606 West Madison Street in Durand.
It's 9 o'clock at Real Country 1430 AM Stereo WRDN Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand. Time now for the weekly service from the First Baptist Church of Algiers in Walker, Louisiana.
Dear Father, I do thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us back one more day, Lord, to thy house where we might lift up praises to thy name. And Lord, I do ask that you meet with us here this morning, that you bless me and give me words to speak. And Lord, hold me up. Give me grace, Lord, to call sinners to repentance one more time. Bless us, Lord. Bless the word as it goes out, Lord. Use it. Cause it to be effectual in the hearts of the hearers. Lord, I just ask you for our sick folks, all those on the sick bed, Lord, heal, raise up. Lord, you know each one and each need. We just ask you for them. Bless our pastor. Bless each of the brethren. Lord, we ask you for all that stand and speak in thy name. Lord, may you give them grace to call sinners to come to Christ. Bless us, Lord. Guide us, keep us now. May thy will be done among us. Bless the offering as we receive it. Lord, may it be used for thine honor and glory to get the gospel out, and ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This broadcast is coming to you from the chapel here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers. We're located at 9559 Florida Boulevard here in Walker, Louisiana. Our mailing address, if you'd like to send us a letter or a postcard, let us know you're listening. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Also, you can hear us on the radio with many radio stations. We're on the internet. You can find us at radiomissions.org. Or you can find us at sermonaudio.com/VOT. Lots of gracious technology the Lord has provided us with where we're able to do those things. So check us out. We have a website, radiomissions.org. And I'm Brother Glenn Bond. I'll be with you this morning. I want to welcome everyone, you here in the chapel, you that hear by radio and by internet. I want to give you a welcome, and may the Lord bless you as you hear. So let's take our Broadman songbooks and turn to number 350, Though Your Sins Be as Scarlet, verses 1, 2, and 3. Forgive your transgressions. That's what salvation is all about. Let me give you the prayer list at this time. We have, seems like our prayer list just grows and grows. Miss Wileen Lovis and Miss Peaches there in California. Brother Ben White and his family. Brother Kenneth and Miss Dory Gayo and Miss Dorothy Vale. Miss Pat Kaufman. Brother Gerald Robinson. Miss Marie Thompson. Miss Theda Adcock, Miss Carolyn Antoine, Miss Aloise Antoine, Miss Becky Boudreaux, Miss Audrey Thomas, that's Brother Justin's wife, Brother Joaquin Martinez, Belinda Thompson's brother, Brother Terry Newton and his dad, Brother Russell Perry, Miss Lorraine Geringer, Miss Jessie Dwyron, going in for surgery this coming week. Miss Chris Holmes and her sister Tammy, Miss Gina Marshall, Brother Robert Waymeyer, he's in the hospital having a lot of problems. Brother Arvis Shows, a lot of problems there. Brother Ronnie Sotolamachi, in the hospital, flu and pneumonia. So he's having a rough time there, and his wife still struggling with cancer. And then Glenn Gayo, his wife, Esperanza fell, hit her head, got to go in for surgery, a lot of problems there. So let's remember them. And then Mary Kaufman, Brother Eric Kaufman's wife, sick lately. So let's remember these. And then in the nursing home, Brother Jimmy Gale, Brother Clifford Birchfield, Miss Mary Perrin, Miss Claudine Fisher, and Brother Harold Cranfield. So let's remember these as you go to prayer, that the Lord will heal and raise them up, restore them. Let's take our Broadman songbook now and turn to number 417, Breathe on Me, verses 1 and 4. Says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So let's come and gather together and praise the Lord together. So let's take the selected hymns and turn to number 14, The Love of God, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Oh,
love of God. The love of God is a marvel to me. Whenever I think about God's love and the poor, sinful creatures that he shed his love on. But I praise the Lord for God's love. And I thank him for his patience and long suffering with every lost sinner. And I know the Lord calls us to come. He holds out salvation to us, calls us to come. He said, come and I'll not cast you out. Come and I'll give you rest. He tells us to seek the Lord. He calls on us to repent and all these things. And God is faithful, long-suffering, and he continues. The call continues to go out. God continues to be long-suffering. He calls everyone to repent. But God is not without end in that respect. There's the line you can cross in rejecting the Lord. I believe that's in a song. And I've titled my message this morning, There's a Line You Can Cross. And let this be a warning message to everyone outside of Christ. Everyone that has trifled with your soul. Everyone that has come here time after time, year after year. There's a line you can cross. I want to read in Isaiah this morning. I want to look at God patiently and tenderly calling his people. How he sends that call out. How he gives everyone opportunity to come. And how so many just won't come. Won't come. But there's a limit. There's a line. Look what the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Now you consider that. You that are not saved, consider what it means. I've brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. The Lord is saying here, I have nourished, I have blessed, I've cared for, I've brought up First Baptist Church of Algiers and its many mission places, its people, and they have rebelled against me. Now you think about it. This is for you today. He says he's brought you up. He's blessed you all through your life. He's kept you from Satan, from destruction. He's taught you his word. He's sent faithful preachers and pastors to come and to be true to your soul. And in spite of all this, you rejected it and rebelled against God. Look what the Lord says about you. Let's look there in chapter 5. The Lord talking about how he made a vineyard. I took great pains, a lot of work, a lot of expense. He made it good, proper. Everything he could do to keep the critters out, help the vines to grow. did everything he could. And in spite of all that, the vines brought forth rotten and worthless grapes. And look what he says in that fourth verse. Look what he says about this vineyard. He says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Wild, rotten, worthless, good for nothing. What could I have done? Listen. What more could I have done to make my people prosper in the way of the Lord? What else could I have taught them? Who else could I have sent to speak to them? The Lord here is saying, I have done all that's possible. I have blessed you. I've helped you. I've done everything, and my people will not come. They have rebelled against me. This is God. He's saying, I've done everything possible. Everything that you need has been done. You've been called. You've been instructed. You have everything that you need. God's given you His Word, the Bible. He's given you faithful preachers and pastors to warn you and to instruct you. And you won't come. The Lord is chastening you by withholding blessings from you. And you ignore it. You will not acknowledge the hand of God in your life. You won't acknowledge that the Lord's calling you to come. God is now saying, you want your own way? You want the desires of your heart? You want to follow the broad way that leads to destruction? Listen, I'll let you have it. Go on. He sends judgment. And this is how he describes that judgment upon them. Look there in Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Now, I used to think that this was God's just a description of the sovereignty of God and God's election, but this is a description of the judgment of God. Isaiah 6, 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Now that's the sentence of judgment. That's what the Lord is telling the people of the world today. To those that won't come, to those that have turned away from the gospel, have turned to another gospel. He's saying this to all those that won't come to Christ and be saved. And Christ quotes this same scripture. When he was here on earth, he quoted it there in Matthew chapter 13. He was speaking to the disciples, but he was talking about the people. He says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which says, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. And why? because this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, it was Christ speaking of the people of his time. This is God's punishment to those who will not obey, to those who will not repent, to those who won't come to Christ. The gospel will still go out, but it'll go out without you. You'll hear it, but it won't mean anything to you. It'll have no effect on you. It'll be like sometimes we say, over the head. You hear it, you understand the meaning of the words, but it has no effect on you. Let me ask you, when we look at that illustration there of the Lord making the vineyard and doing everything that he can, preparing it, build a wall around it, till the ground, plant the seeds, everything he can do, and no fruit. No fruit. What would you do with that vineyard? What would you do? I'd plow it up and start over. Is God obligated to keep putting up with you if you won't come, if you won't listen, if you won't heed the word of the Lord? What would you do? You have children that act this way. What would you do? You just gonna put up with them? They won't obey. They won't listen. They won't do what they're told. They ignore when you talk to them. Would you put up with it? Oh, well, he'll be okay. He'll come around. No, you wouldn't put up with it. The Bible says to spoil the rod is to spoil the child. You'd bring the rod out. You'd use it. Christ went on to say, there in that 13th chapter of Matthew, he answered the disciples and said, because it is given unto you. It's given to you. God's people, those that have come, those that have obeyed the gospel and come to Christ, have repented, is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. It is not given. This shows that the Lord will bless those who repent, who come to him, who obey the gospel. He'll bless you. This is the contrast between the wicked who will not repent and the righteous who will repent. There's a difference. The wicked have judgment pronounced on them. Your eyes will be blinded. Your ears will be closed. The gospel will mean nothing to you. But the others, the righteous, will have blessings. The word will go into your ear. Your understanding will hear it. You'll see the meaning of the message. You'll come to Christ. There's a contrast. As lost sinners, it's a natural thing to believe that God wants to destroy you. It's natural. You believe that God's chasing you down and he wants to catch you and bring you to judgment and condemnation. And it's the natural man with his own depravity, the wickedness that's within him, that brings that feeling on you, that idea that God wants to destroy you. It's because of that enmity toward God. That enmity. And then the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day, continually, because you won't come, you won't come, you won't come. So when a lost sinner looks at God's word, and we see passages like this, he's quick to think that God has no good intentions, that the Lord is only trying to catch me and bring me to judgment and condemnation. That's the natural heart, the natural thought from the natural man. We think that only misery and destruction awaits for us. But that's all contrary to what the Bible teaches you. Those thoughts are for the sinner that won't come. Look at God. Look how God calls a sinner, how he relates with a sinner. We're quick to think evil thoughts of God. But if we'll consider God, what he is, who he is, how he works, and these things, it's plain to see that we should never have a bad thought about God and his intentions towards us. We should never have a bad thought. First, we see man is a totally depraved sinner. Nothing good in him. And I'm not talking about some of the wicked people or even most of the people out there, but this is everybody, every one of us. We're all depraved people. We're born that way, and we can't get away from it. Look what the Bible tells you. And this is a few things that I've got here. Genesis 6:5 tells us that every imagination of the thought of man's heart is only evil continually. Evil continually. Genesis 8:21, it says, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Isaiah 64:6 tells us we're all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And then we have the Apostle Paul telling us of that deplorable condition. And in Romans 7:18, he says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And the Apostle Paul wrote this many years after he had come to know salvation in Christ. And he still says, in me dwelleth no good thing. In this human body, we are not able to please God apart from the blood of Christ. And that's the condition of every person in this world. We can't please the Lord. We're unable to please the Lord. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Impossible. So when we see man's complete inability to please God, then we can begin to see a reason why man runs from God, wants to stay away from God. God and man are opposed one to the other. God demands righteousness and holiness, and man is completely unable to meet those demands. Unable. We can't do it. When we look at the depravity of man and the wicked and deceitful heart that we all have, and then we mix in a little bit of Satan's deception, a little bit of his temptation, and man becomes a terrible creature. A terrible creature. And that's what we all are by nature. Every one of us. So if you will escape all these things, the condemnation, that eternal damnation in hell, if you'll escape these things, that nature that's in you, you're going to have to plead with the Lord. You're going to have to beg the Lord. You're going to have to plead with him for grace. If the Lord leaves you to yourself, you'll only grow worse and worse and worse. If you want to avoid hearing God say to you these awful words, "Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." If you want to avoid that, then you better plead with the Lord that he'll help you. You better plead with him, because this is the nature that's within every one of us. And the natural heart wants to keep on going. We want to have our own way. We want to do our own thing. We see nothing in God, nothing in Christ that we want or desire. And our nature is to go away from God. All the time that God says, "Come, come, seek my face, call on my name." And man wants to go the other way, run from God by nature. And that's what we'll do if we're left to ourselves. We'll go. And we see in these passages of Scripture, we see that these people had left God. They had turned to their own way. And God has given them up to their own desires. Turned and left them. They crossed the line. And the Lord said, "Hear, but understand not. See and perceive not." He said to the prophet, "Go and tell this people." And that's what I'm doing here this morning. I am telling you what the Lord has said. And if you won't come, if you continue on and you cross that line, that's going to be said to you, "Go and tell this people. Hear, but understand not. See, but perceive not." Go on. Make your heart fat. Make your ears heavy. Close your eyes. You'll never see nor hear the gospel. You'll never be converted. You'll never come to Christ. You'll be doomed for judgment. This is God's judgment on the wicked that won't come. It's the Lord pronouncing judgment on them. They have rejected the law. They have rejected the Lord's counsel. They've turned to their own way. And now God has said, "Leave them alone. Leave them alone." And he takes away the Holy Spirit's influence in their life. He leaves them in their sin. The gospel is preached to them, but they can't perceive it. They can't hear it. They can't understand it. They're dead. Dead. I want to tell you, you here that want to know the Lord, that say you want to be saved, God has sent the gospel to you. He has sent it time and time again. He has sent it by many different pastors and preachers, and you've rejected it. You've turned down God's word. You've turned down the salvation that he holds out to you. You want to have your own way, and God's only going to go so far. He's only going to go so far. He calls you to repent now. He calls you to stop and turn and come to him. There's a line that you can cross. You don't know where that line is. You don't know how close to it you are. But when you cross that line, it'll be over. And this is the results of it. God will say, "Hear, but understand not." You don't want it? then fine. I won't send the Spirit to make it effectual in you. I won't send the Spirit to give you ears to hear. I'll leave you to yourself. The gospel won't mean anything to you. It'll be just a testimony against you in the day of judgment to buy you a hotter spot in hell. You go on. I want to tell you, friends, God has ordained, God has, that every sinner who is ever saved will seek the Lord. He will come and reason with the Lord. He will come and beg the Lord for help. You're going to do it, or you'll never be saved. God's made it that way. That's part of God's plan. But I want to tell you, God, though He pronounces all these, we can say threats, we can say promises, whatever you want to call it, God has given you these examples of what you can expect if you won't come. But He has also given you promises of hope. One of the greatest promises is the promise that Jesus gave us in Matthew 7:7, and it's also in Luke 11:9. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Will you ask? Or you say, well, I ain't asking. He might give it to me, and I don't even want it. What do you think? Are you concerned for your soul? Are you? Are you afraid that God will turn away and leave you? You should be. You should be concerned. This is God's promise to you. We have two promises here. That promise of what He'll do if you won't come, and His promise of ask, and it'll be given to you. Ask the Lord to give you grace to come. Ask the Lord to give you grace to ask. Plead with Him. Plead with Him. Continually, over and over. Look at the examples we have in God's Word. Don't just ask. Beg and plead. Look at the example that the Bible gives us, Luke 18, starting at verse 2. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came to him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She had been done wrong. She said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Hear what he says. What did he say? He said, this widow troubleth me. I'm tired of hearing her. It says in that fourth verse, he would not. The judge would not hear her. He would not give her her petition for a while. For a while. Do you understand the meaning that has there? The woman kept coming. She kept coming. And he kept saying no. And she kept coming. And he kept saying no. And she kept coming. And for a while, he would not. But after a while, he got tired of hearing her. He got tired of her continual coming. He got tired of her pleading her case before him. He got tired of sending her away. This is God's instructions to every lost sinner. He said, "This widow troubleth me." She kept coming and asking the same thing until he finally said, "Okay, I'm tired of seeing you. I'll do whatever you want." Now that sounds worldly, doesn't it? But that's what the Lord's example to us is. The woman kept coming, kept asking the same thing. She didn't come each different times with different ideas, different petitions. She knew what she wanted. She wanted one thing. And when this judge wouldn't give her what she wanted, she didn't go home and throw up her hands and say, "Oh, well, I guess I'll never be saved. I'm going to just go on out and do what I want to do." No, she kept coming, and she kept coming, and she kept coming on. And that's what the Lord expects of every lost sinner. Now you think about it. Did that woman want what she was asking for? Did she really want it? Or was she just thinking maybe there's a loophole somewhere I can get something out of somebody? No, this woman wanted what she was asking. It was dear to her. It was precious to her. It meant something to her. And she wanted it, and she wouldn't give up on it. She kept coming. If it was just a passing thing, she would have come a couple times and then gave up. Forget it. It ain't worth all that. Let me ask you, what is salvation worth to you? What is salvation worth? Is it worth coming to Christ continually, over and over, day after day, month after month, even year after year, until the Lord gives you what you plead for? Is it worth it? Is it? Do you want to be saved? You see, that's the problem right there. By nature, we don't want Christ. We don't want salvation. We don't really want to be saved. All we do is we look at hell and we say, "Whew, I sure don't want to go there." And so we start looking for ways around it. We don't want to be saved. We just don't want to go to hell. And so whenever we come to Christ begging and pleading, we don't want to be saved. We just want to escape hell. We don't want the salvation the Lord holds out. We just want to escape hell. If you want to escape hell, you better beg and plead with the Lord. You better ask, because he said if you will ask, you'll receive. There's nothing wrong with wanting to escape hell. But if you're ever saved, you're going to want salvation. You're going to want what the Lord can give you. Have you ever thought about the value of salvation? As I sat and thought on this, thinking of what salvation means, try and put some kind of idea on salvation and what it's worth. And I can't help but think that salvation is the greatest thing the Lord will ever give us, now and through eternity. Salvation is the greatest thing. Now, many people might look around and say, "Well, must not be much in heaven if all he's going to do is give us salvation. Must not be much in heaven. Salvation ain't that great. So if it's the best, what's going to be in heaven?" Not going to be much there. And I want you to understand, I'm not trying to diminish or put down or belittle heaven and what the Lord has prepared for us there. I'm not trying to do that in any way. Because I believe that in heaven we're going to have just wonders and marvels and everything that God can give us and bless us with through eternity. And there's going to be things there that we cannot imagine. But in spite of all the great things that the Lord's going to give us, salvation will remain the greatest by far of God's gift. It'll be the greatest thing that God can give us. And I say that because I try and try to speak of salvation and what it means to me. And I cannot elaborate. There are not words. There are not understanding within our feeble brain to understand it. The Lord's made me to know something of it. But salvation is the greatest thing the Lord will ever do to any poor lost sinner. The greatest thing. The Lord saved me over 20 years ago. And salvation has not faded away or diminished or become insignificant at all. I still today say it's the greatest thing that the Lord has ever done for me. By far, it's the greatest thing. And so when I ask, what does salvation mean to you? A lost sinner can't perceive it, can't understand it, no idea, don't know what he's talking about. But when the Lord moves upon you, pricks your heart, opens your understanding, gives you some little bit of insight to what you are, the condemnation that you're under, and the salvation that's held out to you, you'll begin to plead with the Lord. You'll begin to understand. Your eyes will be opened, and you'll see that, and you'll beg and plead with the Lord. You'll beg and plead, Lord, don't leave me. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Don't leave me to myself. Bring me on. Have mercy on me. I praise the Lord for saving me. Whenever Christ was here, he was speaking to his disciples after he had told them about the people having their eyes and ears closed. He said, I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. They desired to see the things of Christ, the salvation that he had worked out. They desired to hear the gospel preached to them. But Christ had not come. They had not seen him. They didn't know it. Christ told his disciples that. And he's telling you, even today, that same thing. Many prophets and many righteous people have desired to hear the things that you hear and to see the things that you see. They never heard them. But you see, you hear, the Lord has brought it to you. The gospel of Christ, what he has done to save a poor lost sinner. You have it. You have an accurate description of Christ and what he did, the salvation that he worked out there on the cross. You have it. A true record of his gospel, of his preaching. You have it. All those prophets and righteous people died without ever knowing these great blessings that are held out to you here today. And you treat it as nothing. You treat it as a common thing. You take it for granted. You think nothing of it. Yes, just another prophecy, another scripture in the Bible, another fact doesn't mean anything. Those prophets and righteous people, they looked for it. They wanted it. They desired to have it. They meditated and thought on it. But they all died without ever knowing it. They would have heard it, laid hold on it, held it close, brought it to their heart, praised the Lord for it, believed it, give thanks for it. But you hear, you're unconcerned with the fact that Christ died for you. You're unconcerned with the fact that Christ paid a great price for your salvation. And it doesn't mean a thing to you. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I praise the Lord for what he's done for me. And I plead with the Lord that he'll save you. Look to him. Call on him. Our Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for thy word. Thank you, Lord, that you're still saving sinners. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit still here, pricking hearts, calling sinners, working in sinners. And Lord, I just plead with you, have mercy on us. Bless us and keep us. Bring us back tonight. And I ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
You've been listening to the First Baptist Church Algiers weekly service from Walker, Louisiana. If you would like to find out more information about the church or send a prayer request, visit radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org. It's Sunday morning on WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine for today. Light southwest winds, highs in the upper teens. Overnight, partly cloudy.
Advertise your business here, where word of mouth reaches more people than ever. Local radio. We're Real Country. 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, O'Galley, Wamundee, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
Coming up next, please stay tuned for It Is Written, presented by Pastor John Bradshaw.